tattoo from Ryan's feet.
Watch the bastard. Could have a hider up his sleeve.
Yeah, yeah! Watch me! Keeper's coming out! Ollie, Ollie, action free! Don't shoot poor old Keeper! He had to do it! Rules is rules, and the law is the fucking law, ain't it? You understand, don't you?
Ryan felt his anger rising. He'd liked Hunniker. She'd been his friend for almost 3 years. And Christy was right. Her life shouldn't have been taken by these crazy old people.
Move it!
Quint cringed as he left his cover.
You promised the Keeper!
His sequin jacket flashed, gaudy and cheap. The heel had broken on the woman's boot he wore, and he limped, his hands trembling in the air. A thread of spittle dangled from his thin lips, and he was shaking like an aspen in a hurricane.
Promise, Keeper! You promise!
Ryan had had enough. He raised his blaster and put a 9mm bullet between the old fool's deep-set eyes. Ryan then reholstered his pistol, not even bothering to watch the death throes of the last Keeper of the Anchorage Redoubt. No man got up when he'd been rained on with a 9mm through the forehead at 20 paces.
Turn off the vid and Hunt's music, and drag those two stiffs out of here. JB?
Right here.
We'll move out tomorrow. First light. Get all the maps you can. Take Finn and Oki and get some buggies serviced and fueled up. Hen, you and Christy take charge of stocks of food, pyro tabs, spare snow specs, ammo, grens, and thermals.
He ticked off items on his fingers as they occurred to him. Nearby, Doc struggled to force the big pistol into its holster.
What may I do to be of service, Mr. Corder?
Check the gateway's exit and entrance codes, Doc. We might have to come back here for another jump if there's nothing much around. Look out for muties about the stockpile.
Oki pointed contemptuously to where Lori was weeping on the floor, holding bloodied fingers to her face.
What about her? Shall I ice her?
We'd all be iced if she hadn't shouted. How bad is she hurt?
The girl sat up then, looking around at the angry, tense faces.
Got bullet across head from Keeper.
She showed the wound, a livid crease on her head among the blonde hair. The wound was clotted with blood that was already drying. It didn't look too bad.
What should I do with the gateway, Mr. Calder?
Just look it over. Make sure there's nothing wrong with it. You know more about them than we do, Doc, don't you?
I fear that my memory is rather like a train, Mr. Calder. The farther it pulls away, the smaller it gets.
As Doc turned away, Finnegan pointed to the girl and again voiced Oki's concern.
Well, what about her? Like JB said, she saved us, but she's also kin to those dirty bastards.
Take me! Take Lori! Or Lori, die here!
Ryan looked at the girl hard, and then looked at the entire assembled group one by one.
With Hunniker gone, at least one less person to watch our collective backs. Taking her on means our number stays the same. So I'll ask just one time. Anybody else want to waste her? We take her, then. Oki, get her bandaged if she needs it.
What about Hun?
We can't bury her. Anyone seen any crems? Lori, there any place around here where bodies can be burned?
I show you room where they put some.
Sure. Doc, you can help. After Lori's cleaned up, go with her and take Hun down to where she shows you. Some kind of freezing place, I guess. Use one of the plug-in buggies around here. Take those two.
He indicated the corpses of Rachel and Quint.
And dump them out the door near the freezing place. Check the return code.
A triple number followed by a letter was common in these places, as I recall.
That's right. Come on, people. Let's all get moving.
Britva had amputated 3 toes from his right foot, using the open cutthroat razor that had given him his nickname. After his fall into a pool a few days earlier, it hadn't been possible to stop and light a pyro tab to dry out his socks and boots, not without running the risk of being abandoned, as the unlamented Knoll had been. So he'd waited and hoped. But eventually, the blackness had come, and the swelling. The toes had bled very little. Uchichil had watched him closely for any sign of weakness, but the little man with the trimmed beard had kept up well. The invasion was going better than he'd hoped. The one disappointment was that Alaska was just as poor as Russia. The 2 communities they'd found and destroyed so far were even smaller than those across the Ice River. One had consisted of only 3 wretched hovels containing 7 human beings, 4 of them with strong muti traits. 3 of the locals had killed themselves as soon as they saw the invaders looming out of the driven snow. But 1 of them had been kept alive, a teenage lad in surprisingly good health, despite being riddled with lice. Uchichil prodded his stallion to move faster. The temperature was dropping fast as night approached, and shelter was yet another couple of miles away in the lee of a low ridge. Since arriving in America, Uchichil no longer felt the need to keep checking behind him. Those horseback soldiers, if they really did exist, would have given up days back, not daring to leave their own terrain. The American boy had given them hope of better days to come. Piechal had taken the lad, helped by Urach, watched carefully by Uchichil, who had held his phrasebook open on his lap. The boy was stripped and tied to a skinning frame outside the hut, where his mother lay raped, sodomized, and dead. After his failure with the trapper, the leader of the Narodniki had spent time studying the book, gradually learning how to choose his words with greater care. Now he felt ready.
Where are big house and store?
What?
Piechal laid a thumb on the boy's right eye and pressed. The boy tensed his skinny white body against the cords. Blood trickled from his burst nails, and his ribs stood out like a line of picket fencing. The pain was so severe that the boy lost control of both bladder and bowels simultaneously, making Piechal curse and step hastily away from him.
Don't hurt him, Piechal. Not yet. I have read how America was a place of great riches. Everyone owned several houses and trucks and guns. It cannot be far to such places. I will ask him again.
Vizabraznaya, the ugly one, came swaggering by, clutching an earthenware beaker of Zabrovka. From her walk, it was obvious she had drunk several mugs of the spirit already. She looked at the naked boy, reaching out and grabbing him by the genitals.
If he won't fucking talk, Uchitil, then I'll fucking rip off his fucking balls. Hear him sing then.
Leave him be.
All three of Uchitil's followers looked at him, hearing the familiar crack of command. The woman staggered unsteadily off toward the others, who were cooking a stew of root vegetables. Urach backed away from the helpless boy, resheathing one of his surgical steel knives. Piechal pulled the